Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 7 of the Meta Marine. I'm your host, Max Style, along with Nick Fuller and Thomas Bird. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're here. It's another one. I can't wait. Exciting stuff to talk about tonight.
Nick, you've been playing some games here recently?
Nick's been playing Marines. He's joined the good side, the good guys. What do you think about playing Marines recently?
I've been struggling with it a little bit. It's not what I'm used to, but it's definitely like an answer for everything in all of the detachments, pretty much.
All right. So let's get started with what did we learn? I learned in a game with Nick, actually, how fantastic the ignores modifier ruling is. They changed that in the last data slate to say that if you have an effect that says that you ignore modifiers or rolls for your unit, that affects your weapon attacks as well. The reason it was effective, I had some Vanguard vets that came in with AP minus one weapons, heat armor contempted, and it was, hey, wait. That doesn't matter. Don't do that. Yeah. And they ended up wiping the whole unit then instead of just not, yeah. For lack of a better term.
That's a huge one. I saw that. That happened to me. I had that same realization when I'm like, Khalgar was getting shot from a unit of Grav Devastator guys, the Thunderkin from Votann. And then they had the character in there to ignore modifiers. And I'm all like, minus one to wound. I'm a content. I don't care about you. Oh. None of that works.
Yeah, I do care.
Oh, no. And I like, they don't ignore cover. So luckily, my Vitrage Guard was able to tank like a million three pluses, and it didn't matter. But I was like, oh, that could have been real bad.
Yeah, because cover adds to your save instead of subtracting from their attack.
Yeah, but that was a pretty big gotcha that I almost got on. So,
but it's interesting because it also means your OC can't go down because you're battle shocked. That's an interesting little nuance that you may not think of.
That's true. I know the banner kind of combats that, but I didn't think about it from the minus one damage or my ignore modifiers. Like, ooh, nice.
So
I did run into something kind of interesting. So I was playing against a AdMech player, and they have these little units of dudes carrying their toasters around that reduce your OC by one. And I couldn't remember. Is there something in one of the erratas or one of the facts that says that you cannot be reduced to below one on your OC?
No, I don't believe so. You can reduce OC to zero.
Yeah, you can go to zero for sure.
That is really annoying. And maybe we can get into that in another episode. But like, that's something that came up recently that was like, oh, all my OC1 guys, I just don't score points. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's you absolutely can be made OC0. There's a Salamander character that reduces your OC by half, rounding up. So he can never reduce you to zero, but it can be done.
Yeah, doesn't don't the Scarabs and Necrons, can't they reduce your OC?
They absolutely do. They can run up and touch you, and you go, oh, man, they're touching me.
I thought they had something that now you make me have to go look, because I thought there was something about not less than one. But
well, we're going to do that in real time. So, Nick, what did you learn this week while he scrambles to get his rules together?
So I found out that the Slam Captain is still technically a thing.
Oh, yeah?
He's much harder to get, and you can't do three of them. But in the Gladius detachment, with the Jump Pack Captain, with the Honor Vehement Relic, which gives him plus one attack and plus one strength, and if you're in the Assault Doctrine, I think I said that right, Assault Doctrine, you get an additional AP. I'm sorry, no, you get plus one additional attack and additional strength. So you're plus two strength, plus two attack. When he charges, when he's in the unit, he gets an additional plus one strength.
Ooh.
Now, he's a captain, so he can do a free strat, and you happen to have a strat called Honor the Chapter that says you get Lance with that unit, and if you're in the Assault Doctrine, you get an additional AP.
Oh, so, wow.
All of a sudden, that one captain with a power fist goes, I'm strength 11, I'm minus 3 AP and 2 damage with 7 attacks. They hit on twos and pretty much wound everything in the game on twos.
That's no joke.
I kind of like put him in the unit and I put him in the list. I was kind of like, oh, we'll see what happens. And then he just like walks around and just like whack-a-moles against like light vehicles. And I was like, okay, that was better than I expected it to be.
What did you put him with? Assault Intercessors or
Vanguard Vets? Yeah, Assault Intercessors, because just, you know, get a couple extra ablative wounds for him, and then when you charge in, you just do some mortals. So it's just like, hey, if you really want to get freaky with it, you can toss a grenade in there first, too, and just be like, hey, man, I don't know, here's 6-7 mortal wounds on the charge, and then come in there and just bop them.
I have had the worst luck against the grenade strat. And if you're listening, you know who you are. The last three games I've played against you, he's been well. Like, well, here's six dice. Grenades, take five. Wait, what? Here, take four. Take five. Take six. Like, what? Stop it.
And of course, you turn around and go like, well, I also have grenades. And you're like, take one. Yeah. One. I'm sorry.
All right, well, I spent my CP anyway. Yeah. So, Thomas, what did you learn this week?
I found the OC rules. So, the modifiers, you can't lower leadership below a 4+ or better than a 9+. Armor and penetration and objective control can never be modified to worse than 0. So you can't make it 0.
Okay.
Move and range characteristics never be reduced to less than 1. So you can always at least move 1 inch.
Oh, okay.
Characteristics of 20+ and NA can never be modified. So there you go.
Yeah, 20. If an airplane, like airplanes that say they move 20+, half move. Okay. I'm half of infinity. You got me.
Yeah. If an ability modifies damage characteristic, does mortal wounds. We know how that one works. So, yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, you can be OC zero. That is a pain in the butt.
Super.
It was very relevant in our game. I was like, oh, okay. So you're just standing there like 3 inches away and I just don't score any primary. Like I kill them immediately afterwards because they're just dudes, right?
I mean, they're ad back. They're ad back. Die.
But they cost you primary for a turn. That's all sometimes you need.
So he had 3 units of them and he strung them out long ways and ran them at me sideways and said, so every time you get on a point, I go get on the point after you and just stop you from scoring. Okay.
How close did that to be to do that?
Like 3 inches. So like, pain. They're pretty quick. And if they just stand on the side of the wall, wait for you to go on a point, like, okay, I'm on the point. Next turn, I'll score it. They go, okay, just walk out. Yeah, you killed the unit.
Better put some big boys on there then, I guess. Not once OC ones.
Yeah, I was looking at my list and like, I don't have any OC two guys.
Well, even still, I think those guys they're their battle line troops, right? It's the, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the, not the Rangers, the other ones.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And they're OC two. So, I mean, they put two guys on it. They got OC four. You have to have 5 guys then if you're OC two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here.
Unless you just like move block the objective. So you're on the outside of the rim and then they can't move within an inch of it. And then if they're advancing, so they'd have to charge you and help you kill them. And then
the thing is they can just like, they don't get on the point with them. They get on the point with something else and they go, you're OC zero. I'm OC. I don't care more than one. So that's my point now.
I could see if there's just guys standing there, they just run next to them and good, right? Mm-hmm. To try to prevent it, I guess. You know, you have a tank that has multiple OC, and then you have to keep the OC at the off of it to kind of keep that from happening. But yeah, I get
Ad-Mex,
it.
Ad-Mex, one of those armies that like you rarely run into just because it's so expensive to collect and there's so few players that actually play it well. And when you do run into a good Ad-Mex player, you're like, I did not know that was coming. Okay, you surprised me.
Yeah, and of course, things like you never play it. So, like, when you do actually run into somebody, you're like, I have no clue what your army does, man. I have no idea what your strats are, what any of your like relics do.
And it's all the advantage against you. Zero. Yeah, that's tough. It's interesting because everyone's just like poo poos head mech, and you're like, do we even know what it does?
Is it bad? I didn't, and I found out the hard way, and I still ended up winning that game, but it was very close because they're still head mech, right? So, yeah, I'm still Space Marines. So,
I mean, yeah, you can still punch him and shoot him to death very easily.
I had 3 Marines left on the table, and I was like, who wants some? Those guys over there? Cool, I'm going to go punch them. Yeah. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to throw a grenade at you. Like, get out of here.
It's funny because, like, Marines, you know, they're so widespread, but there's such a wide player base in terms of skill level. So you have, like, Marines that are played poorly and Marines that are played really well, and you never know what you're going to get. And I think they're one of the lowest, if you take any stock in GW's percentage win rates of all the armies, which is kind of crazy because we all play Marines, right? And we're like, Marines are fantastic. They're not like the necessarily the top dog, but like if you have a good pilot behind them, they can do all the things you want them to do. So
it's you know, I hate to use the parlance because everybody uses that term, but they have a low skill floor but a very high skill ceiling.
They definitely do. We use that a lot to our advantage around here. Like, and we all come up with some weird different versions of the kind of standard Marine list to try to squeeze the most power out of them, if you will. And we do like some Marines around here.
So speaking of weird lists, Nick, let's have, we're into our main segment now.
How about I don't get to do my what did I learn? I learned something.
Oh, sorry. What did you learn?
I have my interruptions later. I'm sure I'll remember something new I learned somewhere else. But so real quick, I played a lot of the new orcs, so the book isn't all the way out yet. But we've had some practice games against some folks that have access to some of the leaks, and or at least they're guessing. I don't know. There's stuff out in the wild. We don't know points and stuff, but we know the rules. And so we played some of the new orcs. And so it's interesting to play against all the detachments. One of the detachments, I think it's the Bully Boys one where you can double wog. They have a stratagem that says, after you declare that you're going to fall back. So there's like, I've already made the decision. I'm falling back. They spend the strat on that one target. And you count as if you're battle shocked falling back. So you basically take the desperate escape test at a minus one. So it means on a 1, 2, 3, you just die. And so I'm falling back with Kalgar, a Vitrix guard, and a one last guy because I will survive for my honor company heroes. I'm like, I'm falling back. He's like, I'm playing a strat on you. I'm like, I could just lose Kalgar here if I just roll 1, 2, or 3. And he's like, I'm like, do I got to roll for each guy? He's like, just roll all the dice and then you get to pull which guy. And I was like, oh, man. And I rolled it, and I passed one of them. So at least Kalgar's alive. And I'm like, I really want the Vitrix to be alive as well. So what I learned was CP reroll, the stratagems, you know, reroll one of your saves or whatever, also includes desperate escape tests. You can reroll that 1, 2, 3. Hmm. So I was like, oh, I did reroll it, and I failed. So I still lost the Vitrix.
But Kalgar it helped this alive. Time, but you now you know.
Now you know. Like, so that's interesting, because like, who would think – to reroll that, but that was actually a pretty critical moment in the game. I'm like, Lee, that's so brutal. I don't want to fall back. I need to shoot you. Sorry.
I've also had people turn their eyebrow up at me when I rerolled a hazardous test. You can reroll a single hazardous test.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I've done that before too. So yeah, it's just those obscure things, I guess, you know, if you're not taking hazardous too often, or who has a CP to reroll that, right? Like, that's
not. I say that. The last thing I needed was another excuse to burn CP on stupid stuff.
Right. Roll everything.
Yeah, right.
All right. So moving on. I learned something.
So your list updates and what we've been working on. Nick, last time we talked about the Blue Lagoon, your Gladius Ultramarine detachment. How's that been going?
I've been having a lot of luck with it. It's not been like big blowout wins, but it's been definitely like. Like I was saying earlier, there's an answer to every problem. It's just you have to find it, and you have to find it in your command phase. Like, that's when you do all your planning for this list and this detachment, and like you kind of have to really make a game plan. So I find myself staring at a table for like 4 or 5 minutes straight going like, all right, check it out. So these guys can go in this, we'll put them in this doctrine, and then these guys come in over here. I have to do the main doctrine for everybody else. We'll get, all right, check it out. All right, 2 CP? All right, yeah, we can make this happen. So, like, it's definitely, like, a very different way than I'm used to playing. I'm used to playing very reactive with the Tyranids and with the Vanguard Marines, where it's just, like, you come to me and I do stuff, and based off what I have left on the table my next turn, then I'd be like, okay, I can make a plan with this and go play a game. But
yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say you're the aggressor, but would you agree that you're kind of the active player, for lack of a better term?
You are definitely putting your finger on the scale and going, it weighs 3 pounds. Tell me I'm wrong. And you're like, okay. So like, if you're playing as somebody who's hyper aggressive, and Thomas knows this because you play Gladius forever, it's like you set little traps for people.
Yeah.
And you go, I have this unit right here. I'm going to go put a toe on that point. Do you want to go take them off the point? Like, I care if you kill them because I don't want to lose. I'm a Space Marine. I have like 12 units. I can't afford to just throw them away willy-nilly. Yeah. But like, so like I have to be hyper competitive with trades on these things. So like I said, generally I don't find that I'm being the aggressor. It's more just like, I'm going to watch what you do. And then I'm going to go, okay, next turn, I'm going to have this whole Rube Goldberg machine, this mousetrap set up. And I'm going to have to like flip over that first domino and just see what happens, you know, because it does come down to dice most of the time. You can set up a nice little plan, nice little like trap and be like, okay, I can bring my Inceptors over here. And if I double up with more Inceptors over here and I got Hellblasters over here and like, yeah, okay. But like for me right now, trying to figure out the biggest thing is trying to figure out how much like warheads on foreheads do I need to apply in any given situation?
What a
phrase. I feel like that's a mileage thing, though, right? Like, you have a general feel for, like, the aggressors can kind of do this, that unit can kind of do that reliably.
Yeah, we were Thomas hanging out, and then I was playing against one of the Votan guy, and I was looking at him, I was like, hey, Thomas, do the aggressors kill one of the land fortresses? And we're like, probably, if they're fully buffed up, right? You know, I was like, okay. I was like,
it does 10 moons if the armor contempts it, right? Like, it should only be about 10 moons, but
yeah. So it's like, that's kind of like a thing where I'm like, I think, and like basic, you know, brain math says that, like, yeah, probably if everything goes to plan, you know, like, okay, yeah, average dice says the thing, but like, that's like I said, mileage. Just trying to get a feel for, like, I have 10 Hellblasters with the lieutenant. Like, what does that reliably kill? Like, what do I need to add extra shots into? Or do I need to save a CP for a grenade just to, like, make sure that I kill this unit kind of thing?
Fair enough.
But I did add a Repulsor Executioner to the list.
So how did you like that? I mean, I saw you do it. I didn't get to watch the whole, like, response of the game. I saw it disappear at one point, so I didn't know what it had done.
It is very threatening. It is not necessarily going to kill anything, but it is the same thing when I was playing Tyranids I had with the Exocranes. People see them and go, oh, I can't get shot with that.
You see that Matt gun, said the go, same thing. It's like it draws fire like crazy.
Yeah, you look at that gun and you go, I can't. No, I don't want to get shot with that. How many other guns do I have on it? Like 30 other shots? What do you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's the first that thing enough. I'm like, get that thing can just shoot all day long. Get over it. I have no respect for that.
You're 3 minutes into, like, shooting this one unit, being like, all right, and here comes the heavy bolter. And you're like, how many guns does it have, man?
Oh, and stop. I shoot the Hunter Slayer or the Hunter Killer.
I always forget to shoot the Hunter Slayer. I always forget. Stupid missile.
So I like it. It's not expensive enough to, like, make me just be like, that's not worth it.
Hmm.
But I find that, and sometimes it does just, like, crater somebody, right? You know, you put a slug the size of a dude through somebody, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I just did 20 damage to that guy, so thumbs up.
The main gun went through twice, and you failed both your saves, and I rolled a 5 and a 5, so take 18 damage. What do you want me to do?
Like, yeah, how many wounds do you have? Nah, it ain't enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't.
And then sometimes you just whiff. It's completely like, I rolled 2 ones. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
I have a hard time moving on because I'm like, I expect some work out of you, big tank with this big scare gun. Like, and if it just points in the ground and blows some dirt on the opponent's face, I'm like, I don't think that's enough.
It is scary enough, though, because it can just turn on for a turn and go, I mean, whatever that is over there, just, I don't care what it is. Just pick it up. I don't care. Like, and the guy standing next to it, yeah, you know, take 5 wounds on them too. I don't care. So you do have to respect it. And it's like what you said, Mac, when we were talking about it a while ago. It's, you hate to put it and pay points and put it in your list, but you also hate seeing them on the other side of the table. When somebody else is playing them, you're going, oh man, I do not want to play against that.
There's so like, much in the Marine Codex that's like that. It's the, I take it out immediately when I'm making a list. But if I play it, like, you have 3 of those in your list? Oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yeah. So it's serving its purpose, right? I think I need to be more strategic with it, with its transport capacity, because you can put I have 3 lone eradicators, 2 units of 3. So you can put 3 of them in there. They can get out, get extra movement, get extra line of sight on people, which I did one where they hopped out the other side of a wall. I shot a transport and I had the tank on the other side of the wall. So I'm like, whichever side you get out on, I got guns on you. So it's, you know, it has some cool stuff like that. I also have intercessors in here, just regular guys, the sticky objectives with Ventress, and they can get in the whip. So the problem I was having with those guys was I would start them on my home objective. Okay, turn 1, I sticky this objective. Great. And then I'd be like, I'm too far away from any other objective to get there turn 2. So it's like, well, okay, well, I'll move some other guys over there. Now I'm like, well, now I have nobody to screen in my backfield. So now they ended up standing there. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really getting a lot of use out of them just standing around, because I also have infiltrators in the list, and their job is to stand around. Like, that's what they do. You pay 100 points to go, this is my corner, don't come into my corner.
Yeah. But if your objective is sticky, it frees up their positioning a good bit.
Yeah, yeah. So if they start on the objective and the tank starts near them, the Eradicators inside the tank, get out, get into a better position mid-table or off on a flank where they got some line of sight.
Yeah.
And then these guys sticky the objective, move forward, get in the tank. So the next turn, get out of the tank. Now they're on a different objective. And you sticky that. Also, speaking of like we were talking about earlier with baiting people with stuff, that's a really good bait unit. Because I'm going to go stand this objective. If you don't kill me, it's my objective. And if you kill me after that, it's still my objective. You still have to come take it off me. And Ventress doesn't really do much to the army outside of turn one. You know, basically, you're giving one unit lone op. Peep strike. There we go. Jesus. You give him, but then after that, he's like, I'm just the dude. I got a nice gun, got a good sword.
I mean, it's Ultramarines. I would believe you that it gave all three of those abilities to one unit.
I think you could technically do that with a Vanguard and another character in that unit. I don't know what good that does you, but you could do it.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, my experience with the stickies is very similar. Like, you sticky it, you either jump into a transport or you just run towards the next objective, hoping you can like sticky it on a later turn. And then inevitably they never make it. And it just becomes this big like investment in the points that the sticky doesn't matter because you still need to leave somebody back to the screen. You can't let someone deep strike on it. Even if you have infiltrators, maybe they don't get to stand directly on it. They're still pretty much on it because you're just like, don't get behind enemy lines or don't deep strike, you know, in rapid ingress. And you're like,
capture enemy outposts. Like, so you probably have somebody around there too.
You're like, you might as well just have infiltrators standing on it. And then the sticky didn't matter. So you're like, oh, maybe they start in the transport and then turn one, they move in advance and jump on the other objective. And then you're like, maybe that's better. So that turn two, they could sticky it there. And you're like, oh, but I could just have some scouts or I could just have a lone-op lieutenant, and you're like, you start going through the progression, and you're like, each of those have their own issues.
And so then I don't know. Inevitably, I play against somebody that has sticky.
I don't know, and you're like, I could have sticky too.
Like, man, that's really good. That's
a good ability. I should get some sticky.
In and out so much, sipping 80 points. You're like, I just could be finding something that could kill something instead of these 80 points that
it's
are staying
always the, I have 80 points left over, and you go, you know, it'd be really nice in that list. Sticky objectives.
I mean, they are OC2.
Oh, so yeah, like no doubt.
And you can give a power weapon or
a thunderhammer or a fist.
Yeah, power fist, thunderhammer. I usually put the thunderhammer it's very rarely relevant, but
I'll take it is. Two dev wounds, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thunderhammer. You better have oath on that thing because it's going to miss with hitting off.
Like I said, they're kind of the bait unit, right? Like,
sure.
They're more like, I'm going to hold this objective unless you come over and do it. And if you come over here, it's going to be really bad for you.
I mean, there's a reason you don't see lists with like 60 intercessors in it, right?
Yeah.
Although, I have thought about it.
Every time I put them in and I expect them to do something, you're like, no, Euro's got a unit. They're OC extra. They got some guns. They're assault. They could do stuff. Oh, they can action. You're like, they're never in the right place.
They're not as good as the 9th edition intercessors were. That unit especially for Ultramarines, that unit was very tasty.
That was so good. That was just a mainstay. I'm sad because I've got a lot of intercessors that I really like, and their guns, different profiles, just not the basic mashed together profiles. Sucky.
So, speaking of sad. Bad profiles.
You're going to lead with that?
Thomas has an update to his Gladius list that he has already submitted to a tournament.
Oh, man.
The night before the lists were due. Convinced himself of
beautiful.
Dear listeners, you will never guess what he has convinced himself is the next greatest latest.
Oh, wait. If you're watching at home, I have it right here. Look.
He has honest to God.
I have to paint it, but it's there.
He has honest to God convinced himself of Firestrike servo turrets.
Servo turret. Never seen in the wild. They're here. They exist.
I've never seen a physical representation. They're bigger than I thought.
They're pretty big. They're pretty, they got like, I don't know if that's a 60 mil base. What size that is?
Is it dreadnought sized?
The baby dreads. I haven't even seen a baby dread in so long. I think it is 60
mil. Well, you figure a Centurion is on a 50, so that's got to be at least a 60.
It's bigger than a Centurion. Yeah.
So tell
you about how I got to this. And then this, so we've been practicing like crazy. It's even more high pressure than what we normally are around here. Terms of list iterations and practice games and Theory Hammer. It's because we have this big team event in New York end of the month, Battle for Salvation. So our team's going up there. And we're tweaking lists, trying to figure out what list we want to take. We're trying to meta, trying to anticipate what the opponents are going to bring and what our armies can do into it, how that pairs in Matrix, the whole team craziness process. And I'm going through my list, and I've had a stable Gladius list for a long time, but it's 1985, and that 15 points just irks me to no end, right? Whenever they tweaked the points on Inceptors and changed them, there wasn't really easy way to adjust for those points. So it ended up just being off points. And so I was like, well, what could I get if I, and you know, when you start doing that, trying to squeeze 15 points, you end up having to take out two or three units to get, you know, the points to line up. And I kept doing it. All the iterations, I kept coming back to like 75 to 80 points. And you're like, if you go through Marines and you're like 80 points, 85 points. Now we have a few more like, ooh, that's pretty good. 80 points. You got the Intercessors. You got a whole bunch of characters.
You need a lot of characters.
Some stupid vehicles. Like I don't need a drop pod. I don't have a Rhino, you know, like, and then you get to an Impulsor, which is interesting if you have guys to put into it. But in my list, I was like, no Impulsor. Then you get, and you're like, I need some anti-tank. Oh, I already got some Eradicators. Oh man, 15 more points again, like the other way. So what I started digging around was, instead of taking another unit of scouts or some other utility unit, I wanted a killing unit. I wanted some kind of damage unit. And I found the Firestrike Servo Turret. 75 points. Not the cheapest thing, but also not the worst thing. And everyone's looking at me like, it moves three. That was everyone's response. It moves three. And I'm like, I don't care how far it moves. That's not what it's supposed to do.
It's also range 36. So like,
it's pretty far from my perspective. I'm like, 36 is pretty good.
Put them wherever you want and just, you know,
that's where he hangs out. Bring it in. So my idea of this thing is you put it in from reserve, right? It's just like another unit of Eradicators in terms of like its purpose. Come in from the reserve, shoot at something, and possibly die, right? Like maybe it lives, maybe it doesn't. It's got a 2-up save, 6 wounds. You can take it to a unit of 2. Now you're like, I'm all in, taking 2 of them for 150 points.
Does it?
I really tried to make that point happen, but I couldn't.
It is a vehicle, right?
It is a vehicle. So you can shoot out of combat if it matters. And it's gun, so let's talk about its gun. 2 shots hitting on 2s because it's got a tech marine driving this thing. Hits on 2s. So you don't necessarily need to oath something to shoot it if you're coming from reserves, because typically you're not. You got oaths other places. You know, that's the big problem with Marines. You're like, yeah, I get rerolls everywhere except only on the thing I need to, unless it's built into the profile. And but the weapon's twin linked, so it's 2 shots, 36 inches. It's a baby LAS cannon, strength 10, AP 3, D6 plus 1 damage. So you're like, if I'm going to shoot at a tank. It's not playing the Eradicator game where I'm like, I'm rerolling for 5s. It's strength 10. It's rerolling because it's twin link for 4s, right? If you're shooting at a Rhino, you know, 3, it's like, oh, I can get on board with this. D6 plus 1, it's not rerolling all the damage like Eradicators, but it's a little bit cheaper, right? So you're like, you make the context of, is 36 inches versus 18 inches, 9 wounds of 3-up save, rerolling everything versus 6 wounds of 2-up save, toughness 6, they're both the same. So you start doing the math and you're like, that's interesting. And then you're like, okay. And then you're like, what's his special rule? And his special rule is it overwatches on 4s. And you're like, I don't know if 1's enough to like tempt the overwatch, but if I had a 2-man stack, 4 shots in on 4s, if some random tank drove up, a knight, you know, a little, you know, carnivore or something, I'm like, I'd overwatch it. If Rhino wants to jump out, like you're playing Dark Eldar, they like, I want to move my transport up, jump out and assault you. And you're like, you know, if I blow that thing up in Overwatch, those guys don't get to assault. You know that, how that worked, right? And you're like, oh, Overwatch on force. No Dark Eldar wants to risk that. Like, that transport's going to go up in flames, right? They can't react to 4+ invulnerable save. You're like, it's bad. It's real bad for them. So I was like, but we have to go to this tournament. Lister, we're due on Sunday. I'm literally having this epiphany on Friday or on Saturday night. So I literally go in my closet. I'm like, of course, I got all sorts of stuff in there. I'm like, 2 Firestrike Servos. I built them. I'm like, let's play. And everyone's like, we're tired. We don't want to play anymore. I'm like, but look, Firestrike Servos. So no one would play a game with me. And Sunday comes around and I'm like, I got to decide on this list. And I'm like, hey, guys. And everyone's like, it moves 3 inches. It moves 3 inches. It's terrible. I'm like, no, there's something here. I got it.
I got a feeling about this one.
And everything's like list by committee, but I'm like, I'm not submitting to your list by committee. I'm putting it in. I don't care if I play the game with it or not. It's coming in. So I've kind of, the points didn't line up to put two in. It was just, I kept coming with 25 points left. And I was like, well, I can't let those kind of points go. If I can't let 15, I'm not going to let 25 go. But I got to 1995, one Firestrike Servo Turret and two Eradicators is kind of my current build of anti-tank into my Gladius. So we'll see if it's enough. I played one practice game on TTS today after lists were due with the list against the new orcs. And yeah, it was it did what it needed to do. It shot some stuff. It threatened Overwatch, so they had to stay away because they didn't want to risk it. Mm-hmm. And then I walked onto my 3 inches onto an objective that was nearby after I moved.
And I mean, sometimes the implication is all you need.
Yeah, it was. It really was. He's like, I got one wound. If you get one of these four pluses to go through, I'm probably dead. And I'm like, you don't want to come over here. And he's like, I'm
back. Because of the implication.
So there you go. Firestrike Servo. So we'll have more to report back after this tournament. It's in 2 weeks. So we might have an episode before then. I'm not sure. But I'm excited. Of course, it wouldn't be a tournament ever for Thomas Bird if I didn't have something new to paint before the tournament. So I got to get some fire strikes, and I'm so excited. Like, I can't wait. I hope the new data slate points and updates, like, that unit is not seen anywhere. Like, nobody takes that thing. It's regarded as one of the worst Marine units. I don't know why. I was like, well, it's not that bad, right? I've found like all these use cases for it, right? Points, whatever, you know, but I'm hoping against hope that points for that will go down just a little bit, and I'll be like, the hero of the Imperium just got cheaper, and I'm like, this thing's gonna do some stories, so I'll have some stories to tell.
I mean, I like
Mac the model. Was like, oh boy, Mac was like, this is you've gone over the deep end here. Freaking fire strikes. I think that's something. It's gonna be all in Mac's face right there. I'm gonna be waving it in his face.
I think they're cool looking.
They are a cool model, and it's pushed to fit. It's interesting. I built it and I was like, it doesn't need to be glued. It's not glued. I'm like, I'll probably glue it once I put it all together. But like, to take it apart and paint it, I'm like, oh, this is actually be pretty easy to paint.
Well, I hope they're decent. I'll be honest with you. I hope they are.
If you honestly,
it's neat, and it's like a Marine unit that you like. I don't get to play with a lot of different units. You know, like, you kind of like, these are the staples. These are the ones I always use. You bounce back and forth between these three choices, and you're like, it'd be nice to have something else that's relatively like useful, and then you're like, this is a completely different unit that does different things that I haven't used in a long time. I'm like, it's like a whole new tool in my belt. I'm like, ooh, I like a lot of tools in there.
So if you could get two of them for like 125 or 130, I would 100% be like,
go for sure. Yeah.
If they were 65 a pop, you get two for 130.
If they drop 10 points per, I'd be like, ooh, Thomas gonna be dancing the street.
That's not a crazy ask. Like,
it's not crazy either, right? Yeah.
I don't feel like that's like the, oh my God, they're, you know, 25 points a piece. Like, no.
I don't need to be like dirt cheap. I'm like just a little off the top. Like,
how many wounds do they? What's their toughness and wound count?
Toughness six wounds, two up save.
So it's basically like two aggressors with a two up save.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting profile. You're like, I don't know that, you know, like a random tank's going to kill it shooting back at it. You're like, oh. You risk Overwatch and you might not kill it. You're like, I might get the
twice. If it's priced appropriately too, like, it's another like thing that somebody else has to target. Like, yeah. It's a threat that you go, you can ignore it. I mean, it's just a dude. He just moves 3 inches, man. He just stand. He doesn't really go any far. He just stands there. Yeah, but, like, he's going to continually threaten a section of the table and just be like, do you want to shoot what you actually want to shoot, or do you want to shoot this guy over here with a gun?
It's just going to keep popping off at 36. And if you come in from reserve, you're like, I'm just going to set it up where it has an angle. Maybe it's in cover.
Yeah, and cover if you're playing, an objective.
Yeah, if it's on Gladius, you're just like, well, I can still advance and shoot. I might be right on the corner, so I'm just like, oh, well, investigate signals. Stupid gun's going to investigate some signals. Good, I don't have to send anybody over there. Oh, you want to kill it? Oh, I'll overwatch you now. You're like, oh, no! You know, behind enemy lines. I'll run over there. Get somebody. So, like, I don't hate it. So I'm hoping for big things.
So speaking of hoping for big things, I had kind of a frustrating night. I forget. It was either last week. I think it was last weekend, and it was late at night, and I'd just gotten done playing a game of Hot Lizard Drop, and I got kind of frustrated, and I said, why do I have this trash in my list to hold objectives? What do I give a crap about that? What if we just went all gas, no brakes? and I'll score points on your dead body.
He did. I think I went over to pick up. He printed me some multi-melted bits, and I was like, I need to pick this up for this tank list that I'm not going to play now. And we were talking about it. So all breaks, no, all gas, no breaks. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So he's like going through it. I'm like, no scouts, like no infiltrators, no guys. They're all killing guys. I'm like, what?
Just I don't care about that. Sure, go try to take my home objective if you're alive. But just create such an issue in the midfield and on your deployment zone with everything, and kill everything, and just kill. That's all I'm focused on. I'm playing old school 40K.
And score when you're dead.
It was after the game that Nick and I played, where it was the Vanguard Vets and the Ignore Modifiers, and I was like, man, that's really good. How do I maximize that? I was like, what's the best melee unit that Marines have? Well, unfortunately, it's Blade Guard Vets. Okay, what can I do with that? Well, giving them lethal and, you know, fallback and charge is really good. Oh, good. Then the lieutenant can have the upgrade. I could put a captain with them. Yeah, that's good. But Salamanders have a captain, Adrax Agatone, who gives you full wound rerolls. Well, that's the other issue with them.
That turns out
they can get plus one to wound.
Because they're Salamanders, right? That's one of their strats.
Now I have a unit of Blade Guard that put out roughly 30 attacks with the lieutenant's attacks. Of 5 minus 2/2 with full wound rerolls with lethal that I can give plus one to wound with like full wound rerolls and reroll ones to hit without having to get oath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. I'm way in.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about that, right? Like your only expense in that unit, if you want to spend, is one CP for plus one to wound. They automatically reroll wounds because of the captain character Actrex. They reroll ones because Blade Guard ability is either reroll ones to hit or reroll ones for your invulnerable save. So you're like, I oath that thing over there, so I don't have I'll reroll ones to hit. And then you're like, plus one to wound if you need it. You're like, that's a lot. That unit can do some serious
killing power.
Plus, mm-hmm. Adrax is like got a 3 damage hammer, right? Like
he does. It's 5 attacks of 10 minus 2/3.
Strength 10, so plus one to wound strength 10.
And he hits on 2s, so the reroll 1s from the base unit, basically, he hits every time he attacks.
Still good, man. That unit, like, slaps. And then, then you're like, okay, that's all great. And Blade Guard just, like, became power. And then you're like, well, the lieutenant with ignore modifiers turns that AP2 into something relevant, because you're not like, well, I armor contempt. Take a bunch of 4-ups, Marines, or 3-ups. Like,
I'm a Satan, or I'm minus to wound.
Oh, Satans don't want any part of that because it's just like, hey, half damage? No,
Satans like run away from them actively.
Hey, I'm toughness 11. You're like, plus one to wound.
I'm winning a 5. I don't care, re-rolling. Man. I'm OC1. Lethal. This is mine. Yeah.
Ooh, it's a lot of beef that you're like, wait a minute. The implications aren't all readily apparent. You're like, because he's telling me this thing, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. That sounds good. Blade Guard. Kind of meh, but you know, if you spend all the points on them, you can make them slap. But then, like, they run into problems with tough things and this. And he's like, he throws it all out there. I'm like,
you
start going through all the targets that are bad problems for Blade Guard. And you're like, that guy with that one little relic, he's like, nope, not a problem anymore. Oh, that guy is pretty easy. Oh, this is actually Satan's. You're like, please give me 2. I might split attacks. You're like, oh, that doesn't make any sense.
And I have been doing that. I've been putting Adrax into something and then the unit. Into the other things.
Can you imagine in a world you like walked up to the Necron guy, he like charged 2 Satans at you, and you're like, I charge him with 1 Blade Guard unit and I kill both.
I mean, that's the dream,
like,
right?
You're like,
So, unfortunately, I had to go back to the Land Raider Redeemer because I had to give them a transport. Not a big deal. But I also added a second unit of Vanguard Vets with another captain. Just so that I can deploy one and put pressure on the table. And then there's another unit in Deep Strike that, okay, you dealt with the 1.
10 man?
Yeah, another 10 man.
Ooh, yeah, because nice. When we played, when I was testing out the Hot Lizard Drop, one of the things I really liked, I put a lot of stuff in reserve, and then like you became this like, hey, I made the wrong decision in this particular match. Sometimes I need to be on the board because they're rushing me. I need their presence turn 1. And sometimes I need a deep strike them in. Or, I deep strike them in, and then they screen really well, and I can't really shoot the target I want. And I come in, shoot some chaff, and then they get got, you know? Mm. So I just put it on the board, and it was, like, very nice. And then, but sometimes you're like, oh, they're really far back. I really wish I could drop them in. So as we were kind of comparing notes and talking about what's more gas we can put on this this fire that we got here. And the blade guard was like an interesting thing. We took out the, you know, took out the airplane and took out the, cause how are you paying for all this? Right. Put the Land Raider back in. You're like, what if you had two of these 10 mans? Well, then I need a strat. You can't do the strat. Well, just give them a captain too. Like they both have captains. They can't do it at the same time unless you really, really spend CP, but you don't necessarily need to. Like one's on the board, one's dropping in. You're like, they still have that pressure of, I have to defend this deep strike, but also this other unit could just advance and shoot and freaking destroy me too. You're like,
being able to advance and shoot a flamer that has dev wounds, that Vulcan, like it, again, you add it all up. Yeah, sure. But, it's the list is playing very aggressively and it's doing exactly what I want. It's everybody is just kind of like, and the people I'm playing know what the list does. So it's not like they're caught off guard by like, I didn't know it could do that.
You know, we all know, but it's also like, it's still like the problems it's presenting you. Like this is,
the games I've played, my opponents go, all right, I'm going to wait a minute. No, I'm not. And then they like just start backing away and it's like, don't back away. You'll just die over there instead of over here. Come back over here.
It's a hard challenge to solve if you can't take the slap in the
list
face.
Is, I find myself rapid ingressing with it way more than previous editions. There were previous iterations of the list. And that's just sort of a, because I have so much stuff on the table that's as aggressive, it's forced people to play further back. And rapid ingress has become more of a secondary option for me to, or a vector for me, a more viable vector to bring stuff in.
The Vanguard vets,
that's a good rapid ingress target.
They have some decent melee. They have some underrepresented melee. So like if they can come in and punch, it's like, it's not insignificant. So like the flames do work. Don't get you wrong. That's like their main primary damage, but they don't mind coming in and slapping somebody. Like Captain gives them extra strength. They got lethal hits on the charge.
One, right?
Yeah, minus so
they,
one.
Yeah. They're base 5/1/1s, and then they come in at 6/1/1s with lethals. You don't have to spend any CP on them. If you really want to, you can plus one to wound them. You're like, oh, man.
Well, with two captains, because those are both battle tactics, one can flame and do dev wounds, and the other one can get plus one to wound.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you can't do the two captain strats in the same turn.
I know. But yeah, and typically what I'll do is one of them's getting armor contempt to try to live a little longer on, you know, one turn, and then it's the next battle round, and then I'll, you know, deep strike the other ones over there and do the dev wounds.
Yeah, I ran into that problem in one of the last versions I was running with double captains. You're like, I want a free strat. And then I'm like, okay, now the captain's charging in, you know, the little slap captain, he's going to free strat too. You're like, oh, crap. I used it this turn. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't use them both. But
I call them this one the snake belly button. It's
it's not Hot Lizard Drop like 3.0. It's like it's a whole new name now, right?
Because we're all on the table.
They're not dropping the lizards anymore. They're already on the ground.
Yeah,
no, they're just belly. They're belly crawling.
Yeah, real fast.
I can just see the.
It keeps a lot of the same elements. It still has the Eradicator brick. It still has the six plasma scepters. It still has Vulcan as company heroes. It's just a Redeemer. 20 Vanguard vets with two captains, the Blade Guard unit with a lieutenant and Edrex, and a lone op lieutenant who has the survivability upgrade they have, which it reduces damage by one or by half, unless it's a flame or melt a weapon, and then it goes to damage one.
He's a lone op lieutenant, like he only has four wounds, but he does come with feeling of pain, five up. That's part of his base ability. He's lone op,
stealth. He has a reactive move if you end within 9, and he has a 5-up feel no pain base. So reducing damage by half and a 5-up feel no pain, like that's... So he's holding my home objective. He's the guy that goes, hey, don't come over here. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He also gives you the pick a special objective, right? Mm-hmm. Rural ones. Rural ones.
Vulcan can point at a unit, and then I can pick your home objective or an objective way far away or out of line of sight and reroll ones on that one. So yeah, it helps.
It's interesting because you can double pick and then you can like pick one. Because normally when you pick the lieutenant, like he only gets to pick once per game, and you're like invariably you mispick or the fight changes and it's now never on that place where you picked, and you're like, ugh. Jeez.
I mean, I could just pick the same one as Vulcan's on. And that's the, like, we're going to fight right here, right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the all gas problem was, like, there's nobody that's sitting on the back doing nothing. They're all fighting. They're all attacking. They're all being aggressive. So you're like, we had to kind of look around. And I think the loan up solves that well.
It's an interesting list. It's very much, I don't want to say it's the Euro way, but it's the kill them all. We'll worry about scoring 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah,
but let's kill when you're dead right now.
Score when you're dead for sure. Which is an interesting way to play 40K. But if you haven't played it that way, it doesn't make a lot of sense until you get slapped in the face and you're dead, and then they just score all the points. You're like, damn.
Yeah, that's, it's like that all vehicle Iron Storm one, mm-hmm. where it's like it's oppressive the amount of firepower coming off that thing. And
yeah,
I think that one
will get touched. Get to shoot you. That's a real bad day. Like, but
I think that Iron Hands list will get touched, or the Iron Storm list will get touched. I think it will.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect that it will take some hits and the points, but we'll see. I mean, Marines aren't like breaking the bank out here, so maybe they'll dodge the bullets.
Yeah, but I'm hoping the Black Templar specific 5-point.
They need to, because like it's so bad if the Black Templars just keep getting all the Marines buffs, and then they just become just the default. Every Marine's got to be Black Templars, because like some of the other chapters have some neat things. It would be nice that they're a little bit balanced, efficient, or, you know. Subjectively, right? Like, hey, these guys clearly 5 points of multi-melta. Why would I ever take a regular tank when I could just take the multi-melta version and have extra shots? Yeah. You like, it's just better, right? Like, wouldn't give for some ultramarine multi-meltas. Come on now, like, they raid the damn armory.
Or, you know, multi-meltas. The chapter that's all about that, maybe over here.
The flame guys, the green guys, they don't have any extra multi-meltas laying around. No, I find it hard.
Not a spare to square. Square to spare.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you could just like let me play Gilliman in the list, I'll be happy.
Oh, that'd be cool too. That would be cool. It's
been a while since we played some Gilliman. That was like early editions.
I still have that model from 8th edition already painted up, like ready to go. And it's like, keep looking at me like, are you trying to find points in the list too? I'm like, 350?
Like, dude, the game has shifted so much. Like, you look at like an Avatar and Karn, those are like bully units, very difficult to kill, hard to kill. And you're like, throw a grenade, random mortal wounds over here. Like, Gilliman does not want any part of that shenanigans. And he would just...
Yeah, but...
He does get back up, maybe, but, like...
If they made it to where, if Gilliman's on the table, you got old school Oath a moment where you got wound rerolls, too. Yeah, you're paying 350 for it.
Like, you're coming back in, baby. I can get it all back. Tigeris is coming back, baby. With Tigeris.
Even if it just his ability was he picks a unit and you get wound rerolls, like Vulcan does. You'd play him.
I would play him in a heartbeat. I don't care how much it costs.
Yeah.
I'll make it work. Fire strike servos all day, baby. We'll make it work.
Got six of them on the table.
All right. I'm at that point. We've descended into lunacy, and we're going to move on to lunacy. We're going to go on to our second segment of Know Your Enemy. And this one's going to be on everyone's favorite enemy, Tau.
Tau. They do seem to draw a lot of hate. They're like Eldar and Tau are like, I don't know that Eldar even gets as much hate as Tau. I don't know why. If you were like a longtime Tau person, you probably faced some, like someone somewhere got bad touched by Tau and they hate Tau.
Everyone hates Eldar because they're Eldar. Like, everyone hates it because they're like, God, they're so tricky and I hate playing against them. Ah, whatever. Tau, everyone just hates because they're Tau.
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, I also, for some reason, am in the camp of I don't really like Tau, and I like to put some hate on them. But I used to own a Tau. I mean, I like Tau. I think there's some cool things there. The models are awesome.
The models are really cool.
But somewhere along the line, I lost my love for Tau. I don't play Tau anymore. And I'm like, I've been oppressively attached badly by those things. And I take great joy in putting my boot in some Tau.
So, basics of what they do. Tau work in pairs. This is
the new stuff, right? So like
this is the brand new codex. This is the actual physical codex. So slight variations from the index. If you've played against them in the index, they still work in pairs. They still have a spotter or a guider and a guided unit. That's not the correct observer and guided and then spotted. So Tau unit A says Tau unit B shoot better at enemy target. The B unit gets +1 ballistic skill, period, no matter who spots, as long as they all have the for the greater good ability. Some of the auxiliaries, like the Kroot, they can't spot. They can't be spotted for either. So they don't have that, you know, for the greater good ability. But if you're a Tau, if you wear Tau armor and use Tau equipment, you get this ability. If the observer has the marker-like keyword, they remove cover for Unit B, for the shooter. Some nerfs, missile drones went down in AP. They were 7.22, now they're 7.12. Not that big a deal. One big change to drones, very few units can take duplicates of the same drone. So if you start looking at lists and you start seeing one marker light, two gun, three shield, one, you know, and you're going to be like, what? Huh? It's because they can't. So not a big deal. One small benefit to that is the gun drones basically give you two shots of 501 that are twin linked that are assault.
There you go.
So every unit's going to have assault in it.
They're going to have assault. But then you also, like, they used to take shield drones to give extra wounds to the crisis suits, and now you can't take as many, so crisis suits don't have as many wounds. Yeah, the crisis suits
all got split up, and they changed tremendously. But they're all used to be six wounds with the two drones. Now they're all five wounds.
And you can't take them in bigger squads now. You don't take them in
six. You're limited to three only. And there are three. But don't think they're three
different
types
of versions. Yeah, they're not different versions now. Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about, like, I don't like them. I think you're not reading the rules correctly. It is it is incredibly interesting, and we'll get to that, but that's one of the biggest points of this list of the army that made me really interested in it. Full disclosure, I had a Tau army in 10th edition. I like Tau. This is more of a list that I'm willing to play. Previously, the Kion detachment was the index detachment. Largely the same. The strats have all changed. It's still the same thing. We're on turn three going on. They get sustained one and two. The strats are pretty gas in this, I'll be honest with you. They have kind of the Dark Angel thing where they get to pick an objective, and they have a strat that gets plus one to wound on that objective for the rest of the game. They still have to use the strat every time they want plus one to wound, and they can't change that objective. But it's the, haha, you're on my trap house. Now, any unit that I'm shooting, it's on my trap house, I'm going to get plus one to wound. And it's a battle tactic, so you can get it more than once. Every detachment has a way to increase the AP of weapons by one, no matter what detachment it is.
So you pair that with ignore cover? Like,
yeah. So pretty Mont Ka is one of the new ones, whereas Kion was turns 3, 4, and 5. Mont Ka is turns 1, 2, and 3. And Mont Ka says, if you are everybody gets lethal on 1, 2, and 3. If you are a guided unit, meaning someone spotted for you, you get assault on all your guns. Pedantically, the way it's worded, it can't work unless you already have assault. Just, it's not intended. And that reading is so autistic, it's not even funny. Like, that's a get out of here. That's not the way it was intended. And everybody knows that. It's because you can't be, okay, so if I'm an observer and I'm guiding someone, the guided unit has to be eligible to shoot for them to get the benefit to become guided. And you only get assault once you become a guided unit.
And you've already, yeah, okay.
But get out of here.
You're not technically eligible to shoot because you don't have assault, yeah.
Also, even if that's the way,
anymore,
even if that is the way it's intended, it doesn't matter because most every unit can't take duplicate drones, so they're all going to take an extra gun drone, which gives them an assault gun in the unit, so therefore they're eligible to shoot, so therefore it's like, come on, if we're going to be that specific, get out of here.
Yeah, we'll work around it, yeah.
Why would you even bother to mention that you give something assault if it already has assault?
I mean, it gives the other guns assault, but in the context of you can't do it, it seems kind of stupid.
It's dumb, yeah. So in both Kion and Mont Ka, you're going to see Breachers and the Devilfish again. That's just, they're just going to be point
Fish
efficient.
Fish of Fury, baby. Fish of Fury.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
You get all the reroll wounds and all this stuff.
Mont Ka has an interesting strat. Speaking of rerolls, if you kill a Tau Empire unit that's not a crew unit, their whole army gets to reroll hit rolls for the rest of the game against whatever killed that.
They hate you. They don't like it when you kill them. It's like Votan.
By the way, that can keep happening.
You keep giving it? You're like, every time I kill somebody, they get mad at you? Is that a strategy? Tactic. Oh, boy.
I had a great turn. I killed three. You're like, cool, I get to reroll hit rolls against all three of those rest of the game.
Oh, okay. Shoot, don't split fire, man. You're going to like set yourself up for four rerolls for free.
There you go. So if you're going to see Mont Ka lists with like lots of like, here's a piranha. And it's going to go put it on an objective, and you're like, I got to bring it down. I got to kill something. So, yeah. So it's going to create interesting trades.
Right.
They can flat six move. They've got some interesting strats. But that's really the one that's in the Mont Call. That's the one that's going to make you go, I got to think about this a second. So if they're playing Mont Call, which is the 1, 2, and 3, be careful if they're sitting on a CP, what you kill, because it's probably a trap. But you may have to kill. So you may want to try out OC in them, which will be difficult because they have an enhancement it's the only one of these I've ever seen in any army. It's an enhancement that goes on any Tau Empire model or character. At the start of the first battle round, before the first turn begins, pick an objective marker on the battlefield. All Tau Empire models within range of that objective get an extra OC.
Oh.
Well, okay. They get to have their own cool guy objective. Yeah. It's just like extra power for them.
So now all the Breachers are OC3. So they're just going to put 30 OC on that objective. That's mine.
Man, that's a lot of
key. Or you Battleshocked them. Well, they're still OC1. It's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That OC problem, we can't stop.
They have, what else? They can flat advance 6. They can improve AP by 2 units by 1. Nothing amazing there. That's really the one you need to know is they're going to jump out and get you, or they're going to throw something up front and go, you better not kill this. And that's, again, that's in the Mont Call. That's in the turn 1, 2, and 3. The one that I'm most interested in, and the one that I think is going to make for a very interesting Tau army, is the Retaliation Cadre. So this one is specifically for battle suits. This is the, I only want to play with the mechas because I think they're cool army.
I mean, yeah, guilty.
Yeah. You got me. All battle suits, just battle suits, get +1 strength on ranged weapons within 12. And if you're within 6, you get +1 AP as well. Now, why is that interesting? Because also they have a 2 CP strat to deep strike just outside of 3 with anything.
Drop within 3, the old Inceptor rule. 2 CP, though.
It's 2. But
battle tactic?
It is not. But it also means it's always 2 and never 3. So, double-edged sword.
Oh,
you can't increase the cost of it.
The last time I had a Vect character in my list to stop that, I was living on a different world.
I play against Vect almost every game I play. So
you're playing Dark Eldar every freaking 5 seconds, it seems like.
Other stuff they can do. They can auto-blow up anything. They have an auto-blow-up strat. Oh.
Yeah, you're reading it to me. It's like you don't even have to be a vehicle. It's like if you're not a vehicle, you can make it.
It can only be used on Tau battlesuit units. But it's when a Tau battlesuit model is killed. If it has Deadly Demise, you can choose to either roll a 1 or a 6. So if it's disadvantage, I don't want to blow up. I can't blow up right now. You can just not blow up. Or you can go, I want to blow up right now. And I do. If you don't have Deadly Demise, when that battlesuit model is killed that I use the strat on, all enemy units within 6 on 4+, they take D3 mortal.
Okay.
Oh, you killed that stealth battlesuit. Sure did, buddy.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, what battlesuit doesn't have Deadly Demise? Because the Crisis suits have Deadly Demise like 1 or something, right?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Battlesuits. Oh, so regular Crisis suits and the stealth suits. Yep. I hadn't thought about the stealth suits. That's super
good. Riptides do D6 when they pop.
Imagine a stealth suit running up and you're like, bam, explode on like 4 units, take all the mortals.
You're going to charge that unit. You sure did, buddy. You got him. You killed him. Anyway, so he blows up right now.
Charge into you. Like, offensively, let's suicide my guys into you, Avatar. Do you want to kill me? Like, good. Go for it. Bam, and you're all target. And this guy, and this guy.
But also, which guy killed him? That guy? Yeah, cool. Plus 1 to hit against it.
Well, no, so that's the attachment.
Okay. Don't get crazy now. We don't need that.
So,
man, it's like my brain started, like, the wheels started turning. It's like, ooh, yeah. No, turn around, I'm going to run and, like, charge him into, like the orc from Helm's Deep. Dive in there.
So they also have the 1 CP strat. That battlesuit unit gets a 6 of Feel No Pain for this phase. Not a big deal. Not going to be the end of the world. They have a 1 CP strat that's a battle tactic. Pick a battlesuit unit. When they shoot, if they target something that has 6 or more models, all their guns get sustained 1. If it's 11 or more, they get sustained 2 on all their weapons.
All right.
For 1 CP.
That cup's really good on those battles, the burst cannon suits.
Or the Melta. I mean, I don't want to take a bunch of Melta on a six model, like, aggressor unit.
Yeah, right? Your Eradicators over there with, like, six dudes near going like, oh, no, I don't want that.
Especially because they're Meltas, and they just dropped in just outside of three, and they're going to be strength 10, and they're going to be AP 5.
And min damage 3?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Pick some dudes up?
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. That's bad.
So, hold on to that, because we'll come back to that. That's what's interesting in the army. This detachment is worth taking for a 1 CP strat called the Torchstar Gambit strategic ploy. So it's always 1 CP. It's move, shoot, move. Straight up for a battlesuit unit. They just make a full move after their shooting attacks.
How far do they move? They are vehicles.
So it's just their normal move.
Walls. So 10 inches, maybe 12 if they have the character joined
to them. Standard battlesuits are 10. If they have a cold star attached, they go to movement 12.
12, yeah.
Okay. So Ghost Keels are going to move 10. Riptides are going to move 10. Stealth Suits are going to move 10. Seeing a theme here? and then they have a weird strat that's if you charge a battlesuit unit for 1 CP, I roll a dice for every model in the attacking unit, and on a 6, they take a mortal. No cap. No, as in, I'm not lying, but as in, there's no... Two at max of six.
As the kids these days.
As the kids like to say.
So it's like, I don't like orcs.
So wait, the most you can do is uncap, but like you take a roll. If you charge into 20 guys, you roll for 20 guys.
Correct.
With your one suit.
Correct.
Whoa.
It's a 1 CP, your opponent's charge phase, just after an enemy unit has declared a charge. And it gets better.
Ooh.
I target one Tau Empire battlesuit unit that was selected as the target of the charge.
Okay, so they charge you. I'm getting charged.
Cool, you've declared the charge.
Death Star, Blossom,
or whatever. The enemy unit must immediately take a battle shock test.
Ooh.
No, okay. Still on my objective.
And you must roll 1d6 for each model in that enemy unit. For each 6, the enemy unit suffers a mortal wound.
Yowza. So engagement range shenanigans you have to mess around with. It's just like count them up. You could just
fail the charge, too.
Yeah.
It didn't say successful?
Just declare.
It is, when do you use it? Your opponent's charge phase just after an enemy unit has declared a charge.
Oh, my God. You lose some guys, and then now they're out of range of charge because you have to pull casualties before you make it in.
You could just mess that up, too. You're like, oh, I pull this. And you're like, sure, man, you did it. Now it's an 11-inch charge.
That sounds god awful. I mean, Marines, I mean, you don't have that many models, but I'm just thinking of some big units of like.
I mean, my Vanguard Vets charge, that's 11 dice. I don't want that.
You definitely don't want that.
Well, like also, that. You take a Battleshock test. If you fail it and then you fail your charge, now if you're on an objective, be like, well, at least if I fail the charge, I'll still be on the
objective. Yeah, you're not OCing it. You don't even get to re-roll it. If you fail it, you might need to, oh my gosh.
So you're Battleshock. Well, you're Battleshocked, so you're not going to, you know, you can't use strats on them. Well, hold on. You're still Battleshocked on your turn and just your charge phase. So when it comes to my turn, I got one guy here. Still my objective. You're Battleshocked. Go away. So it's a little tricky.
That's a lot tricky. I don't know what you're talking about. Start setting up all sorts of bad scenarios for like, I'm going to layer these bad scenarios for you. Like, oh, one of these things go wrong. It starts to all go wrong.
Here's where it gets interesting.
Oh, it's not even interesting yet? What? We haven't got to the interesting part.
This is what I kept saying. I was like, guys, I'm telling you.
I'm going to hate it more.
I'm in this codex. Okay, so Retaliation Cadre. Two enhancements in here that I think are just bangers.
Okay.
Star Flare Ignition System.
Okay, yeah. I asked you what those were.
You got to go on a battle suit, so you put it on a commander. Okay. At the end of your opponent's turn, if they're not in engagement range, they can go into Deep Strike.
Bounce the old school Grey Knights.
Yeah, good.
Internal Grenade Racks. This one is...
generally not where you want grenades to be.
It's fair.
So, internal? Oh, yeah.
So on a battlesuit command, so you can put this on a commander. The bear has the grenades keyword. I'm in.
Okay.
I didn't realize they didn't have grenades, but that's good. Everyone likes to have grenades.
Each time the bear ends a normal move, you may select one enemy unit that it moved over during that move.
Here we go.
Roll 6d6s. For every 4 up, they take a mortal.
It's got flyover grenades, and you can throw grenades with the... you get double grenade? And is it every time, or is it once per game?
You can triple grenade, because I have the Torch Star Gambit, which says move, shoot, move.
Hey. That's a normal move when you do the fallback move?
Target one Tau Empire unit of your army that has fly, that attacks have been resolved. Effect, if your unit is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units, it may make a normal move.
Oh, no. No, so, that's so ugly.
I have 12-inch move. So I'm going to...
There goes the avatar. There goes Gilliman. There goes Gilliman. He just got mortal wound passed twice.
I'm going to fly over you. I'm going to grenade you. I'm going to shoot you. Then I'm going to fly over you again. Or I'm going to fly over something completely different and grenade that over there.
It's different phases, too. Yeah. So it's like if you have a character, that like you pick them up at the end of the phase, if they like get back up.
Yep.
So like Gilliman gets up. Like you kill him in the shooting phase. At the end of the shooting phase, he gets back up.
So good. So
like you move over him in the movement phase. Kill him in the movement phase. He dies. Gets back up at the end of the movement phase. Then you shoot him and move back over
him. It's that avatar that stands back up in a two-up? Cool, cool, cool. So take some wounds in the movement. Now I throw a grenade. Now he dies. Okay. He'll be back. I'm going to shoot those guys over there. Oh, he came back. How many wounds does he have? D3? Okay, cool. So I'm going to fly over him and do another 3. So he's dead, right? Okay, cool. I'll see you later. It's interesting. Because it allows you to be super creative.
I would describe that as interesting.
Is it the model, the bearer of the with the relic in it has to fly over? Or is it unit?
Correct.
That it's the guy, right?
Has to move over.
So it's not anybody in the unit. Correct. It's the boss. It's just him.
But it does give grenades. Boy. The grenades keyword is now in the unit. So anybody from the unit, you can measure to throw the grenades 8-inch.
That's still really good.
Super good. So, oh, boy.
Let's move on. Because this is where we start to stack the layers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See?
Yeah. This is getting worse. Like, and we're going to have Mac playing this soon. And it's like, oh, boy. Life's just going difficult.
Commander Farsight. He changed a little bit. Used to be once a game he could get full wound rerolls in melee. Big deal. He's got a 10 minus. He has 4 attacks that are 10 minus 2, 3 in melee. Who gives
the only guy that could fight in all of the Tau Codex?
Who gives a crap? Right. You give a crap now because he gives plus 1 to wound if the target is within 9 inches in shooting and melee.
Mm.
And once per battle round, you get a free strat, even if you've already used it.
He's a captain. He's a named guy that's a captain.
Oh, yes, sir.
No, we don't need him giving out free stuff. Come on now. So what are they doing?
But he gives plus 1 to wound to any crisis unit he's with.
That's
already? So
that's his default ability. He gives a plus 1 to wound. He's
giving out plus 1 to wound.
Within 9.
Okay, but you move 12.
You're like, I'm deep striking three because I'm stratting it you know, for free. Oh, wait, that one's not for free. What's three that? Deep strikes
no, it's not. For free. That one costs 2.
That's not bad attack.
So already... In the retaliation, so now just himself, his plasma now within 6 inches is going to be 2 shots of 9 minus 4, 3. Who are going to ignore cover because you're going to spot for him.
And he's going to be plus 1 to wound.
And he's plus 1 to wound.
Plus 1 to wound. And then I'm going to move away. Maybe I'm going to move over you on the way out and then drop some portal
so
wounds.
So there are 2 other commanders.
That's not that guy.
Yeah, no, you can't have it. Yeah.
There are 2 other commanders. But... They removed the crisis commander. He's not a thing anymore. There's basically the enforcer. Who now gives the unit armor a contempt, which is good.
Yeah.
And then there's the Cold Star, which you'll see 9 times out of 10, which gives 12-inch a move instead of 10, that's and assault move, to every weapon in the unit. You got to take that one, because you need the movement.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. You're like, the armor contempt guy sounds good, because who doesn't want armor contempt, but like... Are you choosing between the other one, and you're both, like, I'm always taking the other one.
Both commanders are tough 5. Both commanders have 6 wounds. The enforcer has a 2-up save versus the Cold Star has a 3-up save.
Do they have invulnerable saves like before?
If you want to, you can give each one of them can take a shield generator and have a 4-up.
Oh, so that's one of the new things, right? They have less weapons now per guy.
So like you cannot stack the cyclic ion blaster. The stats didn't change on it, but you can't stack it like you used to. You can only take 1 per commander now.
And then like
the suits can't have them.
Ooh, it's back to like what's in the box, Charlie. And it's also like the crisis suits can't take 3 or 4 weapons like they used to, right? It's just like
each 2 crisis guns? Unit, each now depending on the crisis unit you pick, they only have 2 weapons and 2 pieces of war gear, basically. So that's a good time to talk about the 3 different crisis suits.
Hmm.
So the 3 crisis suits are the Sunforge, the Fire Knife, and the Star Scythe. And these are names back from way back when.
I'll say great band names, all of them.
So the Sunforge, they're the only ones with a 4-up invul. Their rule is if you target a monster or vehicle, you reroll wounds and damage, and they have 2 meltas each.
So the Melta ones have invulnerable saves. Correct. They're the only ones. Okay, that's all. The name, I don't care.
They have a 4-up invulnerable.
Melta ones.
And they can have 2 drones each. So they'll have a gun drone. They'll have 1 marker drone so that they can spot if they need to for another unit. And they'll have a shield drone each. So there'll be 5 wounds. Tough 5 wounds. With a 3-up, 4-up. But you can roll wounds and damage against monsters and vehicles.
And once you buy the drones, are they just a piece of, like, are they not actual models on the table?
Yeah, they're not models anymore.
You never could get rid of it. Until the last suit's dead, they all have those
abilities. Correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the Fire Knife, I don't think the Fire Knife you're going to see that much. The Fire Knife can either have plasma rifles or missile pods. They reduced the range on the plasma rifle. It's now 18. And it's 8 minus 3-3 still, so it's still amazing. And then the missile pods are 2 shots at 30 of 7 minus 1-2.
Having them be 18 is a big deal for those guys.
Their ability is they reroll 1s to hit all the time. If you're shooting something that is at full health, you get full hit rerolls innately. It's not bad.
Nobody says no to free rolls.
How many shots to the plasma?
1 each. And they have 2 of them. So it's 6 shots out of it, you know. Yeah. It's not amazing. It's not amazing.
How many points is a 3 stack?
130.
Inceptors.
So it's pretty cheap.
It's Inceptors, right? A 3-man Inceptors, 130.
It's basically a 3-man Inceptor. So the rumor going around right now, and this is before we really know what's what, is if it's a new unit, you use the book numbers. Otherwise, if it's an old unit, you use the numbers in the last data slate. So that's the reward on the street. Take it as it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the points notwithstanding, right? Who knows what the points are going to shake
out. The unit that's got me kind of jazzed up.
Yeah, you haven't even got to that yet?
I haven't even gotten to that yet.
It's not the Melta ones?
No, the unit that has me jazzed is... So there's the anti-tank, the Sunforge, the anti-elite, the Fire Knife, and then there's the anti-infantry, the Star Scythe.
Okay.
So the Star Scythe can either have 2 flamers each or 2 burst cannons or 1-in-1. So the burst cannons are 4 shots at 18 of 501.
Nothing to write home about, but yeah.
Or D6 shots of ignore cover torrent 401. They're flamers.
Yeah. 401. D6 shots. Okay.
Their rule is they can shoot if they fall back.
Okay, big deal.
Very good.
Yeah. And each time you target something that's not a monster or vehicle, improve your AP by 1.
Okay.
That's
legit.
So now they're in the retribution aggressors.
Yeah.
So now they're all going to be AP 2 and strength 6.
You're close.
So
yeah, and extra burst strength.
Cannons. Let's talk burst cannons. I'm dying to talk about the burst cannons. 2 each. So there's 8 shots of 6 minus 2-1 with no CP input. Okay.
Oh, I see where this is going. I don't like it. Stop it. Oh, no. Marines don't want any part of this.
Oh, okay. So, commander with them, the Cold Star, who's got a high outburst burst cannon, there's 8 shots by itself of 6 minus 2-1 that hits on 2s. And I've got a cyclic ion blaster that now is 9 minus 4-2.
How many shots is that thing?
Well, 3. But what if I'm shooting at something that's more than 6 models? Now I've got sustained on that unit, too. 6 or more, I'm getting sustained.
Because that's the relic he has.
No, that's a stratagem.
That's a strat.
No, this is the guy with...
So all of the guys get the sustain?
There you go. On all their guns.
And then you're like, ignore cover because somebody spotted for me.
So now I've got a stealth unit who just, you know, across the table goes, hey, I see them. And you reroll. Hit rolls a 1 and wound rolls a 1. Or a tetra, and I get full hit rerolls. And I'm fishing for those sustains. And I'm strength 6.
I mean, all right.
So, and the commander...
How many shots are we looking at? So the suits and then the commander.
So the commander is going to have 2 burst cannons and a high output burst cannon. He's going to have 16 by himself. That guy. And he's going to have three of the cyclic ion blasts.
This is why we hate him. This is exactly why.
The unit.
One guy running around being a jerk. He's like, I hose down a whole squad by myself.
Thanks. The unit is going to have 24 shots by themselves. So that is 44 shots. No, 40 shots coming out of that unit of 6 minus 2, 1.
40 before the sustained, correct. If you want it.
Correct. Of 6 40 minus rolls. 2, 1, ignore cover.
It hits on 4s and then you BS it to 3. Go to,
there you go. And the commander hits on 2s because he hits on 3's base.
Hey, hey, hey. Nobody got time for this.
God help you if you got now, 10.
If you split fire, right? Is there any like penalties for splitting fire? Because that's the whole way.
So with if you are a guided unit and you shoot at something that's not your guided target, not your observed unit, you do get minus one ballistic skill.
For both squads?
No, just the thing that splits.
Oh, so just the splitter.
Okay. So the commander can be like, yeah, I'll shoot that over there.
I'll just be back to hit on 3 like the rest correct. Of you jerks?
Correct.
Because he's not... He's BS3. Wouldn't he go back to BS4?
Yeah, he'd go to minus 4s. One. He would hit on
4s. He'd hit on 4s. But like, he's still got a lot of shots. And with 4 rerolls, does he even care?
But if I'm a fire knife unit, I have full hit rerolls anyway because the commander could shoot at something that's at full health.
Oh, you can shoot. You can split as long as one of them.
So now you start stacking. The unit's ability is if a model in this unit shoots at something that's at full strength, I get full hit rerolls.
Oh my god!
So now all four of them can drop down and go for the shoot at that random guy.
Yeah,
all the rerolls. Ugh.
So it's creating these interesting little interactions of between the rerolls, the AP, the shooting at vehicles, and how you attach the commanders to your different units of crisis in between games.
How they buff them between
is going to change.
Let me ask you this question: if because I don't know Tal that well, if I spot for it. What's the interaction timing wise? Like, can I, like, I have 3 units and I want to shoot 3 of them. Can I spot 3 things and then my one unit shoots at 3 things and they all get spotted bonuses?
If I'm, no. So if I am a spotted, if I am A and B, A spots for B, B would get the benefit, A would not. But A doesn't have a penalty if it shoots at the same target.
But I can't have like super crisis suit unit with a commander. And I got like a bunch of little Pathfinder guys running around saying, mark something for me. And he's like, that tank, this unit of infantry, so and this
Pathfinder
tank too,
are a bad example marked. Because Pathfinders can spot for 2 different units.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay.
Pathfinders are a bad example. So they technically.
Well, we're not spotting for 2 units particularly. They're spotting for just the one crisis.
So there is
can a. Spot 2 targets.
There is a stratagem in the Kion detachment, which is the turn 3, 4, and 5 one. Mm-hmm. That lets the spotter get the same benefit as though he was spotted for if he shoots the same target for a CP.
But there's no world, at least the way I'm hearing
no,
you say
no, there's no it. World where you have A, B, and C all targeting D, and A for B, B for C, C for A, and it's like this little triangle of... No, you can't do that.
No, and I'm not even saying that. I'm like, now, when you say A, B, and
a
C,
can
it
spot
gets me
for
confused.
B, and then,
don't use the letters.
So...
All right, one can spot for 2.
So,
if I have a, let me okay. put in Marine terms, right?
I gotcha,
so like,
I got gotcha. You. Here's in terms. Okay. I could have a breacher unit that spots for crisis unit, and then the crisis unit would get the benefit. But the got crisis it. Unit could never be a spotter because it was already guided.
Okay.
So they work in pairs, not in trios.
But if I have a Land Raider and a unit of Blade Guard and a Dreadnought. My Marines, it's all standing around, and the melted guys come in. Mm-hmm. Can I, with as many Tau units I have on my other side, shoot? I can mark all these different ones. Mm-hmm. Hey, unit 1, mark the Land Raiders. Unit 2, mark the Dreadnought. Unit 3, mark the Blade Guard. And now Crisis Suit comes in, and I split fire. Do they get buffed on all 3 of those things because they got marked by all different ones?
No. So you mark for another Tau unit. You don't necessarily. You do mark an enemy unit, but it's the issue is the observer spots a unit that becomes the spotted unit, and the guided unit of the Tau becomes guided.
You're thinking the old school Tau where you used to just drop Markalites on people and do stuff.
Yeah. So like you just tap the Tau guy on the shoulder and say, you do better. And then he's already doing better. But then if he splits, he's not doing
better. You get plus 1 ballistic skill if you are a guided unit. And the only way you get guided is if there is an observer that has a spotted unit. You both have to have line of sight to the same target.
Yeah, I think I got it. I think I need to like go through it in progression on the table and really kind of see it once or twice to kind of fully understand how to exploit it in the defensive way, or at least stop them from doing good stuff. Stupid time.
The crisis units being split up made them more interesting, in my opinion, way more interesting.
Yeah, the big breaks of suits. I mean, I know why you did it, and you had to, like, you're spending all these points on expensive suits to do buffs. Now you can make them a little bit cheaper, and they're different units. Oh. And yeah, it's neat, and it gives you more flexibility, I think, from the tau perspective.
So the grenade guy, you know,
those lists become very static. But.
So you're going to have, in my humble opinion, yeah. I'm Peggy Hill over here. You got to have Farsight, because that +1 to wound in a free strat is amazing. Oh, yeah. Plus, he's strength 10, so you can actually tank shock something, which he's a vehicle, so that'd be amazing.
Yeah, fair.
You got to have the grenade guy, because move grenade, like, you know, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
An ability.
Why would you not take that? In what world where you don't take that?
And then you got to have the guy that bounces a unit every turn, because, especially in the Retribution cadre, because that move, shoot, move for 1 CP, I could deep strike outside of the range of, I don't know, in infiltrators, come mm-hmm. down, shoot you, move on to an objective. Like, that's so good.
Yeah, no, pretty good.
Do you have a guy that gives you extra CP? Sounds like they want to use CP a lot.
The only way they can get CP is they can have an ethereal attached to basically a foot troop unit. And the ethereals mm-hmm. generate on a 4+ in your command phase. But if you have Farsight,
or whatever, chapter master.
Yeah, if you have Farsight, you can't have ethereals, period, in your list.
Oh, because he's the rebel, right?
He's the anti ethereal guy.
He's down with the establishment. I'm on my own thing.
If you have Commander Shadow Sun, who is, I think she's interesting, and not for the reasons you think. Shadow Sun is 100 points, basically 110, hovering around there. She has a reroll ones to hit aura of 6 for all tau. Mm-hmm. And if you use a stratagem on a Tau Empire unit within 6, on a 5+, you get a CP back. Now, why she's interesting. She's a mini Ghost Keel. Don't think of her as anything else. She's Infiltrator Lone Op Stealth. She is -1 to be wounded, period, with range attacks.
What's her toughness?
4.
Okay.
She moves 10. She has a 3+, 5+, 6 wounds. Not important. Not that amazing. She does hit on 2s in shooting. And she has 2 Meltas that are strength 10, -4, D6 at 18 inch.
Okay.
With a Melta 2.
You told me about her stats. Strength 10 Meltas. Hello, Marines.
I think you mean strength, you know, what the strength 11 Meltas.
Because you're +1 strength. You're suit. Like your Firestorm in Tau. Like,
so she what has 2 of those.
Strength 11. What? That's such a big profile switch, because like now that she's shooting at tanks, AP4. She just one tap them herself without anybody helping her out, lone op in it, yep. Being a little punk.
Hits on 2s, rerolls 1s by herself. Just fine.
She's gonna be in scepter bait for sure, man. Nobody got time to let her run around.
Well, she's also stealth, so I mean, you do have to work for it.
I don't like it.
She has a couple of shots of 7.02 or 8-1.2, which are pretty amazing. And then a couple, like a weird, like 5 shots of 4-1.1.
Yeah, I feel like just for the CP chance, and then her just being lone op, that's such a good tech choice. That why wouldn't you take her? There's no restriction on her with Farsight,
no.
Right?
No. So she's 110
points. Can she join units? Nope. She can never join units.
She is a lone op.
She's very annoying.
She is going to be on the table and just aggravating you the whole game. Like, would you just stop and go away? She's going to go, no, I'm going to move 10. I'm going to shoot you in melter range. Then I'm going to move away for a CP.
Yeldar.
So if you think about it in that terms, pretty interesting.
There's a lot of things that you call interesting, which I call like a pain in the ass. This is just going to be hellish.
So ghost keels, ghost keels are... For better or for worse, they're the exact same as they were.
They're the same thing. Yeah.
Tough 8 with a 2+ save with 12 wounds. OC3 with infiltrator lone op stealth.
They blank damage. They
blank
still?
2 a game each. Now in the retribution cadre, they get super interesting because their meltas, their fusion colliders, go from 12-4d6 to 13-5d6.
And land raiders don't like that. No, they don't.
Now,
hey, you get a save? No, you don't.
AP 5. Armor contempt for sixes. Like, that seems like a great choice. Do you do that?
The other main gun they have, the sick of Gaion Rager.
Where did you go?
It would go to 9-3-3 with 6 shots.
What's the range on that gun?
36.
Oh, man. Are they still lone ops?
Oh, yeah.
They're just dropping 3 damage kill Gravis guys from lone op 36?
From all the way downtown.
Oh, my God. This is not going better. You can't drop Inceptors to kill those guys. That's just not... You don't got enough beef in there to kill that through the blank 2 damage.
Shockingly, you don't have enough beef to kill them. Most things don't.
This sucks.
Crew carnivores, of note, crew carnivores have sticky. They have stealth and they scout 7. Other than that, they're...
The carnivores are the dogs?
No, that's the peoples. The little peoples.
Just the regular crews.
They're tough 3 with a 6
of new models are cool. Yeah, the new crew stuff looks cool.
You breathe at them and they die. They're tough 3 with a 6 save. That's not what they're for. They're for, I'm paying points to get sticky and to hold my bag of jackets.
Or the screen or whatever. Yeah. You know. Are they cheap, the crews?
Yeah, they're stupid cheap. Broadsides, largely the same. Nothing much changed on them. They're still tough 6 with 8 wounds. So they'll have 9 wounds. Or actually, they'll have 8 and 2 missile drones each.
Broadsides are pretty good, man. Like, the real cannons the shooting on them same. It's a pain.
They are a battle suit, so they don't fly. So you can do some interesting stuff with battle suits. The Riptide, however, that's going to be a problem.
None of these other things are going to be a problem? What?
So Riptides are...
Right, you got to shoot them first. It's fine.
He's just laying me down here. Like, he's just like, oh, like, it's over. It's finally over. The pain is... No. There's more. There's more.
For what it's worth, the Storm Surge is still terrible. So...
But they took the restriction off. I just found this out. I just learned something new.
So
they took the restriction off of the modifiers. They ignore its modifiers, right?
But if you split fire,
to hit,
you're getting ballistic skill. Yeah, so you still can't do it.
Oh, it's sort of, but not really.
Yeah.
And it's really back to
in order to be guided to have the benefit, you have to have line of sight. So out of line of sight shooting is still like so.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. Such a cool model. That's like one of my favorite models.
Now, you can outflank it.
Should be cool.
And that thing can come out of nowhere, and you go, wait a minute, what? And, you know, it's putting them 12 damage shots on you, laying them to you. But
it has 12 damage guns?
Yeah, it's main cannon, the pulse driver cannon. It is. It has 2 profiles. One of them is 24-6, 12.
Straight 24?
Straight 24, baby. Well, 25, actually.
Minus 6, because, like, what do stats matter for? You know, like, but you don't have enough.
You could be -7. I got you. What are you, a Terminator?
We're on twos. -6. Get wrecked.
Riptides, I think, are going to be the interesting problem to solve in this army. Because the crisis suits, they're tough 5. Just shoot them and kill them. I mean, just...
Yeah, so what I was taking from everything we've said so far is it's all, like, tough 6 and below.
Yeah.
Which is, like, Marines, okay with that.
You can eradicate... They're all vehicles. Eradicators are going to be like, man, I got you. Get out of here.
Better hope they got them.
I'm splitting fire. They get
one try at it. That's what I heard.
Ghost Keels would be the exception to that, because Ghost Keels would be a pain in the butt. Mm. I mean, if you've played against them, you know it's just like you got to put way more into them than you want to.
Maybe jumping the shark here, but like, what are we looking at in terms of a 2,000-point armor?
Hold on.
Like, how many of these units are we placing?
Hold up.
Golly.
So the Riptides are going to be the interesting problem to solve. And I mean, interesting in that you have a solution for the crisis suits. You have a solution for the lone op guys. Just run at them and they got to go away. You know what I mean? Like, they can't take it. Riptides can kind of take it. So they move 10. They're tough 9. They have a 2-up, 4-up. They have 14 wounds and they're OC4. They can fall back and shoot. They can ignore all hit roll modifiers. And once per game, they can pick a melee, pick a ranged weapon, and it gets dead wounds.
Once per game. So do you take the burst cannon on that?
So the burst cannon is 36, 12 shots of 6-1-2.
Is it twin link?
No. But you can reroll once to wound with the stealth unit. The ion gun, it has the big ion gun. It is 8-3-4, or 9-4-4.
How many shots?
6.
Ish. I mean, that one's probably the better gun to take, I would think, over the burst.
So if you're shooting now every turn, this is, you know, like it's turn three, whatever. I have two Riptides over here. Okay, well, I'm going to shoot both of them at that unit of crisis and or that unit of aggressors or eradicators. There's six in the unit. I'm going to get sustained one. These are going to be 9-4/4 ignore cover.
And I could turn it to dev wounds if I want to.
Why?
Once per game.
I'm 9-4/4 ignore cover. Like,
not against those, yeah, but yeah.
But like anything in the game, like custodes go, oh, wait a minute now, I don't want that. Like nobody, and they're 72-inch range on those cannons.
Mm. Just punishing people.
I'm going to stand in the way back and go, are those bikes at four wounds each? Cool. Anyway, pick them up.
Or you're a three wound model that has -1 damage. Okay.
Don't care.
I don't care.
I feel like your like snake belly underbelly list doesn't care about Riptides at all.
You can dev wound them, but they can six up feel no pain them. So they'll probably not kill them all the way.
I mean, yeah, not one squad, but like, yeah, I guess. But
are Riptides what you're worried about as the snake player? Like, I'm not worried about the Riptides yet. I'll get to them.
You worry about everything, but yeah, I guess.
So the issue is they're 165 points.
Mm.
And there's going to be three of
cheap.
Them. So they have that main gun. Cheap. They're probably going to have a twin-linked plasma rifle. So it just rerolls wounds. They're also going to have two missile drones. So it's four shots of 8-2/2.
It's a lot of guns for 165.
That's a lot of shots.
Yeah. I mean, they hang out in the backfield, just kind of to keep you honest, right?
Like, they're hanging back in that midfield and back. Right, there's three of them. They're OC4. They're just like, oh, by the way, they're a battle suit, so they can move, shoot, move too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that being a problem.
Can you give them enhancements? They're not characters.
They're not characters. Right? You cannot enhance them.
Okay.
I can guide so for them. Me
fire strike servo turret is the answer.
However,
what I'm hearing is,
but remember,
servo turret.
What we talked about, it feels like 12 hours ago. They blow up D6.
That's good. Yeah, you can't risk them being standing around next to their buddies. Like they could pop off.
So it's and blow like, up oh, themselves. I'm at one wound. I'm going to move. I'm going to shoot. I'm going to move again. Now I'm in amongst everything.
You're just setting them up to auto explode on me. Get out of here. I'm blowing you up over there.
But they're going to be, I think, the problem that you're going to run into because. You're going to take damage from the crisis suit. You can't prevent it. You're going to take some shots from the broadside or the ghost keels because they're going to be just this pain in the butt that you have to, like, you're scrimmaging with them in the middle.
Yeah. By the time you're, like, futzing around with all those guys and you've lost most of your army and half your army, and then now the Riptides are like, we're still around being jerks, and if you've devoted fire to us.
It's like game. I still have three Riptides. Like, oh, man. What am I going to do now?
This sounds very problematic. I don't know.
So
I have to see it on the table, how bad it is.
What does a list look like, you ask?
Yes.
So using those points, the list I've come up with is...
So three auto-take Riptides, those are auto-takes?
Got to take them. So the list I have that I'm like, this is where I'm going to start, is two Cold Star Commanders, one with the Starfire, the jump up every turn, and one with the grenade rack, because get out of here.
Mortal wounds are nice.
Farsight to go +1 to wound and a free strat. Shadow Sun to be a third ghost keel.
And be annoying.
Two ghost keels.
Annoying. Makes sense.
Three Riptides. A 3-man stealth unit and a 6-man stealth unit. Stealth battle suits.
Why do you want six?
Aha! They're battle suits. I can have two Meltas in there and then the rest have burst cannons.
Hmm.
They can each have.
Okay.
So there's a marker drone. So they have marker lights. And then there's six guys. So I can move, shoot, move six guys. I give them all sustained. I can spot for all of them. Like, all their strats work on all of them. You have to respect that 6-man shooting at you. Because they have the same guns that everybody else does.
That's fair.
There's no restriction on, like, I spot for somebody. And now I still could shoot, correct. Right? It's not like they turned off my other abilities correct. Or whatever.
Then two ghost keels.
Do you have any chumps? No breachers or any of that stuff?
And a 10-man crew carnivore. And then a star scythe, the burst cannon ones, the anti-infantry, and two melted units.
So three crisis teams.
Three crisis teams.
On top of all the other crap that you just threw
two at me. The anti-vehicle ones, one of them the anti-infantry with the burst cannons.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And then you mix and match your characters as you need.
So you really could decide if the characters go in different ones. It's not like this is the dedicated one. I'm attaching them however I choose.
Oh, you got Land Raiders? All right. Well, I'm going to shoot a bunch of Strength 10 Meltas at you with plus one to wound. So let's go.
All right.
Or...
Because, like, the Riptide guns doesn't matter. She liked it. All the guns are pretty bad into the Land Raider. Like, the Land Raider's, like, the tough thing that it's not really wanted to play against Tal.
So are the stealth suits also vehicle? Yeah.
No. No, they're infantry. But they have battle suit keyword. So all the strats and all the abilities work on them.
So they're infantry, so they can go through walls and stuff. So they're bouncing. I missed that part. When you said they're battle suits, I just like put said that vehicles.
They're fly battle suit infantry.
Okay. That's, yeah, I see why you like them. I see it now.
They also have infiltrate and stealth.
Okay. So what? I mean, I know you haven't played it and we're just thinking through this, but like, what does it not want to see in the Tau player? Like, what do Marines have that
what do Marines have?
Really take it to the
infiltrators, take
it to the bank on those guys?
Obviously. Infiltrators.
Just keep tracking within three with the infos, right? If you have the lone up guy, obviously 12 inch on the Phobos librarian, I hate taking that.
Eradicators.
Guy. He's so good, but
they don't want to see eradicators.
So expensive.
The
or Hellblasters.
Is there Overwatch any good?
So
do they get the rerolls on their whatever?
Potentially, yes. Their Overwatch can be amazing because the anti-infantry unit could be flamers. And then they become 5-2-1 flamers that ignore cover innately.
It's just 12 inches though, right?
Yeah.
So like you can kind of mitigate Overwatch for that.
They don't have any amazing Overwatch per se.
Do they have any this one doesn't have the exploding mortals when you charge them, right? That's the other detachment?
No, that's this detachment.
Oh, that's this one. So charging him is like problematic, right? Because you declare the charge before you even roll.
Correct.
You take some mortals potentially.
And then you Overwatch them.
The Retribution cadre is the tricky list. It's the one you want to play if you want to, like, try it on hard mode. Because you don't have the horsepower to, I drop out all the breachers and I just, you know, roll a million dice and I just, hey, blow you up. Something to be said.
That's not this one.
I mean, this one.
And but this one sounds hyper-violent. So this is like, if you would relate this to kind of like Firestorm, right? You get the plus ones when you're close and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think one of the problems, too, is people are going to look at this and go, I'm going to take Bring It Down. And you're going to go... Cool. What else are you taking? Like deploy? Sure. But like if you're gonna stand in the middle, then like I'm gonna line up a bunch of shots, all these dudes on the middle, and just be like, it's gonna feed me stuff every turn.
It becomes a little easier for two turns. Then it starts getting real hard because you have to sacrifice
the unit. I mean, if you're taking Bring It Down, right? There's three commanders, there's
I give up 85 Bring It Down points. Absolutely.
You got four characters that are like assassinate bait, right? Like
sure.
If you're playing the I'm telling you vehicles game. You're playing the I'm killing vehicles game. You're like, I'm going to kill three of the units that have the characters in them, right? Because they're the ones that are suits units that I can't like kill me.
Yeah, you're never getting Shadow.
You would just take Assassinate, I think, in that scenario.
You would.
No, I don't think so.
I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would all day. I can't let them kill me. I'll be dead. I'll lose anyways if they're not dead.
Nah, Shadow Sun, you'll never kill Shadow Sun. You'll get 12 points.
She's going to take it in the face for the first infiltrators or interceptors I got.
This is the same argument that I had with all of my opponents with the previous list.
I don't care.
And it was always, I'm going to take tactical, and my ghost keels are just doing their thing, getting points, getting secondaries. And it plays primary better than you think it does.
I play those damn ghost keels. And it, a lot of this Tau list, we didn't see tons of ghost kills, right? And it was I don't know why those things are such
so good.
Super pains, man. Like,
so
they don't die like they're supposed to, and you're like the blank damage messes up all the math. And you're
if
like,
I'm playing against Tau, and I see the Mont Ka detachment, the first few turn ones, I'm going to be very careful about what I kill with what. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing against the Kion detachment, I'm pulling my pants up and I'm sprinting at you. Because that's all I can do. I'm putting everything on the table, and I'm going forward fast.
Can't let them get to turn three where they buff up. Now, they in that detachment, like the old index one, right? That's the index one.
Yeah.
They still have a relic that lets them one of the units get as count as a turn earlier.
Correct.
Than before.
Yeah, they get the – this unit will get the benefit on turn two forward. It's not that as amazing as it used to be, because it used to be you could put that on the big crisis blob.
Oh, because they have so many shots, right? So now you can't mix the weapons the same. They don't have the same volume.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. That melty unit's going to come in and have sustain two, and nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Nope.
But it's okay.
I mean, you do always start on your back foot. with.
Do they have fallback and shoot and charge? Right. Which ones have that? Right.
So innately, almost every battlesuit unit does. Also, their vehicles they can shoot in combat. The Ghost Keels can fallback, shoot, and charge. The Riptides can fallback and shoot. Broadsides can fallback and shoot, or they can shoot in combat without penalty. Depends on what war gear they take.
So is there any value in tagging them? Like not in terms really. Of like, I guess you stop them from moving. Maybe you make them minus to hit because they're like,
there's not a ton of combat. Unless you're killing them in combat, there's no real benefit to tagging them. Because you can still spot and be observed for in combat. So I'm in combat with that guy. He goes, yeah, you're beating me up, but I'm looking at that guy over there and I'm fine. The anti-infantry unit of suits can fall back and shoot. Nobody else can fall back and shoot, but the anti-elite unit can fire without penalty. So they just shoot in combat, their vehicles. And none of their stuff is without blast.
Penalties. Yeah. You're like, I'm like, let's tell. Maybe I can make their ballistic skill crappy enough that they won't hit me with all these million nasty bullets.
Now, but any commander like
that's easy
can take a piece of war gear that lets them fall back and shoot. Or they can take a piece of war gear that says you're no penalties, or they can take a 4-up invuln, or they can take a combination of any of them. Basically, imagine it, they have 4 hard points, and you can put war gear and weapons in any of those hard points.
Can they take 4 weapons and no?
Yeah, absolutely. War gear? Absolutely.
The commanders. Only the commanders
can. The commanders get 4 guns.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to see what people go. So, all those things sound good.
Like I said, is a deep codex and it rewards creative thought and play.
I mean, we gotta get on the table now. See what it does.
Shoot, man. If you didn't know about Tau now or you weren't worried about it, like, I mean, it sounds to me like you should be. At least me from a Marine guy, I'm like, this is gonna keep me up at night trying to figure out this.
So, Hellblasters? Hellblasters are amazing against them.
The suits. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because you can't bounce unless away before I kill you.
Unless it's the only ones that would have a save.
Hellblasters? Nick?
I'll take them. Give me yours. I'll take them. I'm trying to find an excuse to put 20 on my list.
Oh, my gosh.
The only unit that would have a 4-up save would be the anti-vehicle unit. But all the other ones, I mean, they could have armor contempt and be in cover, so they'd be minus 2. So that'd be something. But they have a 3-up base save. So
I like that.
It's not.
My Hellblasters love that.
Their saves are really not amazing.
Hellblasters would love that.
They have to rely on their movement and their offense, really, is their survivability. Their hammers are pretty fragile, but the other stuff in that army is not fragile at all. The Ghost Keels and the Riptides. So, anyway.
Now I want to play it.
Yeah.
Now I want to put my guys down.
Now you know what I've been thinking about, because I think it's interesting, and I think there's something there.
That interesting word. I don't think that word means the same thing.
You use this word. It does not mean what you think it means.
Every time Max starts a sentence with, all right, check it out.
It's like, sounds interesting. I'm like, oh.
But it's a deceptive kind of depth to it. This codex doesn't, when you first read it, you're like, okay, whatever. You gotta let it.
I mean, I could see how it sounds super scary to me because I just imagine you behind the wheel playing it. But I could also see where, like, you can screw it up one time and then, like, you lose half your suits.
Absolutely. You're slightly out of position. You didn't think I was going to outflank here. And look at that. I walk in from strategic and nuke 2 units. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So it gives me some hope there, right? It's not going to be all bad.
Yeah. Like, Hellblasters walking in off the side, I could just be out of position and go, I
can't believe we're saying Hellblasters is the answer.
Just strutting in, saying it with the chest.
Hellblasters solves the whole thing. What's the problem? No, fire strikes.
I mean, Eradicators for that matter. That big unit of Eradicators. Mm-hmm. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, that's bad. That's
real even bad. In Overwatch, like, you get to reroll all hits and all wounds.
Yeah, I haven't invested in that tech. That's just like so many eggs in that basket. That seems like you better hope you have the right match for those guys. Like to do things, otherwise it's like.
So no, I don't. Do I think Tau will be the dominant force in the meta? No, by no means am I saying that they're this broke codex of doom.
Oh, yeah, no, these aren't Necron.
I see, like, Eldari. There's going to be a lot of, like, bad matches for that. But I also see, like, for me personally, my Marine, Thomas Bird Marine, because, like, I always have that lens of Marines first and then Thomas Marines second.
It sounds like a pain in the ass. I don't want part of that to
deal with. It's gonna be a good teams list, a good teams army.
It will be. It's interesting who's gonna pick up that mantle, because like I know we got Mac playing multi factions here. He's been playing so many games. He's kind of like our go to guy for a lot of different factions that no one else is playing. So
I like the Tau list. I like the suit Tau list because it's so weird and it's gonna play so differently. I think it is a great anvil list, a guardian, whatever you want to call it, or a rock.
Defender.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to play tactical, and I'm going to out-tactical you. And I'm going to do pretty good on primary, and I'm going to do pretty good on secondary. You're not going to blow me out. Like, if that list is playing defensive 40K of, I'm just scoring what I can score. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm just trying to get what I can get and take opportunities as they come to me. That'll be a pain in the butt to deal with.
It will be.
That's what I'm saying. I think Bring It Down might be a trap if you play it properly.
If you play like that, it would be. Like, you better have a very mobile, aggressive list on the Marine side or the opposing side, because if they, like, turtle up or dance around, you're like, this is going to be...
Or you're picking guys up every turn, you're
like...
You're like,
I'm not scoring any points because I can't track you down.
Yeah. I like it.
So,
now I want to beat it.
That's where I'm at.
Hellblasters.
Hellblasters, man. I'm telling you.
It didn't get worse. Anything that Nick gets to use his Hellblasters on, he's all for it.
So,
hey, man. Like I said, I'm trying to find points to put another
unit in. I'm like, what are you doing? Does this have more Hellblasters? He's like, yeah, they're great. I'm like, what? No. Go the wrong way. It's Fire Strikes all the way. Come on now.
So, in the eternal battle between Fire Strike and Hellblasters, guys, we appreciate you listening to episode 7 here of the Metamarine. We will have an update on the eternal struggle between Hellblasters and Fire Strikes in episode 8.
Yes, we will. So
thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
We'll see you next time.